This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بالعالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Dear respective brothers and sisters, in this very short reminder, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, where I want to take an extract from the kitab of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Da'u wa Al-Dawa'. And the extract that I have chosen is the effects that the sins it has on a person's heart and likewise his body. Brothers and sisters, I don't think anybody will question this. We are universally people who all fall into sins. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in the authentic hadith, كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. Every single son of the children of Adam is an individual who excessively makes mistakes, who excessively sins. We are all sinners. And there isn't a face on this earth, there isn't anybody on the face of this earth except that he falls into mistakes. But the problem of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we might not necessarily realize the effects that these sins have on a person's body, his heart, the long-term effects. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned something very, very powerful. And I want to mention this before I move into the different points that he mentioned. He mentioned something amongst the 20 points or more, the effects that it has on a person. And inshallah ta'ala, we will only mention a couple of them. But something very powerful he mentions is, فَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمْ أَنَّ الذُّنُوبَ وَالْمَعَاصِيَ تَضُرُّ وَلَابُدْ. Something that we should all know about, and it's a must that we know about, that the sins and also disobedient acts, it harms a person, and this is something that is bound to happen, and it must. وَأَنَّ ضَرَرَهَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ كَضَرَرِ السُّمُومِ فِي الْأَبْدَانِ. The effects that the sin has on a person's heart is just like the effect that poison has on a person's body. A lot of people, they think, brothers and sisters, that you can sin as much as you like and then say Astaghfirullah and then everything will be plain sailing again. Everything will be back to normal and it's perfectly fine. We need to know, brothers, that it leaves an effect on a person's body and heart. If a person now was to drink poison, methylen, for example, and he takes the relevant medicine to remove all of this poison, something that is very well known is that there will be some remainders that remain on a person's body. And then slowly, slowly you find it tends to what? Be removed through the medicine that he takes. And likewise, you have the Quran and the Sunnah that has given us the shifa, the cure for the sins and the problems that we get ourselves involved in. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells in the Quran, O people, that which has come to you is what? A shifa, a cure. What is this cure? Is the Quran. Have we ever wondered, brothers and sisters, sometimes we might even feel discomfort of walking into the masjid. Have we ever sometimes maybe thought about that? Every time we want to do something with our lives, we find barriers between us and also accomplishing that thing that we're trying to succeed in. Have we ever wondered, my brothers and sisters, why every time we might sit down in order to attain knowledge, we sit there for hours or we try to memorize, but what happens? That knowledge doesn't seem to be entering. There's a number of reasons for this. So inshallah ta'ala, I will speak about some points without prolonging the whole lesson. The first point that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions is hirmanul ilm. One being deprived of knowledge if a person now starts sinning. And then he says, فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ يَخْذِفُهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي الْقَلْبِ. This ilm is a nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he places in a person's heart. وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ تُطْفِئُ ذَلِكَ النُّورِ. And the sins, the disobedient acts that a person might fall into, what does it do? It extinguishes this nur that has been placed in the person's heart. Once upon a time, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he sat in front of Imam Malik. ولما جلس الإمام الشافعي بين يدي مالك وقرأ عليه أعجبه ما رأى من وفور فطنته. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, when he sat in front of Malik, he became amazed with his cleverness, his intelligence, his sharpness. He was so alert. His great understanding. وتوقد ذكائه وكمال فهمه فقال. He said, إني أرى أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد ألقى في قلبك نورا فلا تطفئها بظلمة المعصية. I see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a light in your heart. Do not extinguish this light with the darkness of what? Of sins. With the darkness of sins. Later on in his life, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he made a complaint to his teacher Waqi'. There's some lines of poetry that he has been ascribed back to him. He says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ سُوَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي فَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى لِعَاصِي. I went and complained to Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Sorry, Imam Shafi'i said, I complained to Waqi' about my weak memorization. He directed me to leaving of sins. فَأَخْبَرَنِي بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. He told me that ilm is a nur, is a light. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى لِعَاصِي. And this light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not gifted to a sinner. He never said to him, oh, don't worry about Imam al-Shafi'i, you're very old now. No, but he told him, leave off sins. If there is any sins that you are involved in, leave it off. Why? Because this could be the reason why your ilm is being affected, of you attaining knowledge is being affected. Why did he go to Waqi'? This is something, maybe a benefit that we want to take. Waqi' rahimahullah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, he was known for something. And you only tend to go and seek advice from somebody who has something with regards to that which you are looking for. As for a person who doesn't have that thing, you can't necessarily take any benefit from him. Or you can't take that which you are looking for from this person. This is why the Arabs, they say, فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِي. Somebody who's missing something, he can't give that thing to you. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in Sir Alam al-Nubala, when he's speaking about Waqi' and is also mentioning the medicine of memory loss. Ali ibn Khashram rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ بِيَدِ وَكِيعٍ كِتَابًا قَطْ. I never ever saw a book in the hand of Waqi', the teacher of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. It was only hifd. إنما هو حفظ. فسألته عن أدوية الحفظ. So I asked him, what is the medicine, the cure for being able to memorize? فقال إن علمتك الدواء استعملته. If I was to teach you this, would you use it? He said, إي والله نعم, yes. So Waqi' رحمه الله تعالى, he said, ترك المعاصي, leave of sinning, ما جربت مثله قط. I haven't tried anything more than it. The scholars, they say that the sins could affect a person before he starts seeking knowledge and also after seeking knowledge. Wallahi, one of the common questions that sometimes reaches me, a person who's seeking knowledge, is what is the cure for memorization? I memorize and then all of a sudden I forget. There's a number of reasons for it. There is genuinely some people, they have difficulty in memorizing. There's genuine, you know, there's people who just don't give the time. And he needs to be repeating it. And the reality of the matter is, a lot of the time, it goes back to what? The sins that a person, he falls into. Even sometimes, من حيث لا يشعر. Something that he's doing and he doesn't realize what this issue is. And a lot of the time, it goes back to what? The eyes. Just having this phone, brothers and sisters, this phone, wallahi, it's a balwa. It is an evil that sooner or later, we have to really, really put a cap on it. Just sometimes browsing inside his phone, not only does it kill the heart, it also kills a person's time. أنشد أحدهم. Some of them, they mentioned this line of poetry. كرهت النت حتى ذقت نتها وأسبابي لهذا الكره شتى ومنها أنه بحر عميق وكم يطوي من الساعات وقتا. Poet, he says, that I began to dislike the internet. حَتَّى ذِقْتُ نَتَّى Until it started causing me so much tightness in my life. وَأَسْبَابِي لِهَذَا الْكُرْهِ شَتَّى And the reason why I began to dislike the net, the internet, is for a number of reasons. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ وَكَمْ يَطْوِي مِنَ السَّاعَاتِ وَقْتًا And from its reasons is that it's a very deep ocean. And most of you will agree to this. You watch one video on YouTube, it leads to another. It all has it on the side, right? The recommended channels and the recommended videos. You click on another one, and another one, and another one. Or you go on Instagram or Twitter. You go from one page to another. And before you know it, you've wasted so many hours. And this is why he says, وَكَمْ يَطْوِي مِنَ السَّاعَاتِ وَقْتًا How many hours do you think that what? It ends up removing it. Or he busies a person from when he could be doing so many things. One of the advice that I give a lot of people who ask is, get rid of your phone at the time of memorization. Not only because it stops you from looking at muharramat, at the opposite gender. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, غَضُّ الْبَصَرْ أَصْلُ أَصِيلٍ فِي حِفْدِ الْقَلْبِ It is from the main foundations that one can preserve his heart. Is what lowering your gaze. And isn't it a big problem when we are surfing the internet? Just looking at the opposite gender, a guy looking at a woman and a woman looking at a guy. هذا يؤثر. And it could be the reason why what? It affects the person's heart and maybe a lot of his knowledge goes. So it could affect the person before he starts seeking knowledge. Or whatever he's trying to do, when he's trying to memorize. Or he's trying to study. Or even after it. A person he has studied, he has memorized, maybe because of what he looks at, could be the reason why he loses half of this Quran. I remember, subhanAllah, and this statement stuck with me. When I was back in Yemen, this is maybe many years ago, one brother said to me, I fear that if you go back to Bilad al-Kufr, that half of your Quran is going to go. And he would mention similar things to others. If you ask the question now, has it affected a person? Of course it has. Because there is so much distraction. Just looking around, you know, just seeing so many things. You know, they say, why are the Mauritanians, those in Mauritania, their hifd is so strong? Because they don't have any distractions around them. They're in the middle of nowhere. They don't have things distracting them. And the memorization is something else. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned a second point. And I'm going to, inshallah ta'ala, aktifi bi thamaniya. 8 points I'm going to mention, I'm going to call it a day. Wa minha hirmanu rizq. Being deprived of provision. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, inna ar-rajula la yuhramu rizqu bi khati'atin ya'maluha. Wa fi riwayatin bi khati'atin yusibuha. One is deprived of provision because of the sin that he falls into. Sometimes we don't realize why we might end up losing money. Or maybe we end up breaking something that would now go and cost us to fix. Maybe sometimes we might want to ask ourselves a question if we get into an accident. Maybe I done something. Because now fixing this accident is going to what? Cost quite a bit, isn't it? And likewise, breaking our phones. The moment you break your phone because it drops, think to yourself, maybe I done something. On all the different misfortunes that a person goes through in his life, think about it. Maybe it was because of a sin that I fell into. They say about Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, when he got very old, he became afflicted with a very big amount of deen, of debt. You know what he would say to the people, brothers and sisters? The reason why I'm suffering at this moment in time is because of a sin that I done 40 years ago. Min al-tabi'een, this one is. This individual is from the tabi'een, from the most righteous of them, and this is very well known. For anybody who looks into his biography, 40 years ago, that means, brothers and sisters, he was leading a life of greatness, of staying away from sins. That he now realizes, it stands out to him, of a sin that he done so long ago. Muhammad ibn Sirin. What about us who just sin on a regular basis? And then when we might be afflicted with a calamity, we might think to ourselves, oh, I'm getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ شَخْصًا ابْتَلَاهُ. It came another hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first he said in this hadith, if Allah loves a person, he trials him. In another hadith it says, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ ابْتِلَانَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ فَالْأَمْثَلُ يُبْتَلُ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى قَدْرِ دِينِهِ. The most severely tested people are the Anbiya, and then those like them. How do we combine now between this hadith that I mentioned in the beginning about sometimes a person losing out on provision, and also these are hadith, because these are hadith, they say if a person is afflicted with a calamity, it might be because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. Seems like it's clashing. The ulama, they say, أَنْتَ تَغْلِبُ جَانِبْ وُقُعِكْ فِي الْمَعْصِيَةِ. You increase the chances of you having what? Or the possibility of you having fell into the sin. Of course, you might be getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal because you're going through difficulty. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. You are never afflicted with affliction except with what your hands have earned, what you've done with your hands. But at the same time, you have these hadith. It could be this and it could be that, and we don't know. We don't know the ilm al-ghayb. The ulama, they say, you tell yourself it was because of maybe a sin that you fell into. And you start thinking, it should make a person think. What does it end up doing then? It makes a person hasten to making tawbah. So he hasn't lost out. Regardless of the situation, khair came out of it. Why? Because he makes tawbah. And what do we know? Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah loves those who constantly make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal, and those who are pure and clean. Either way, now you go about what? Gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know the Arabs, they say, الَّذِي يُصَاحِبُ يَفْقَر. Whoever ends up having a haram relationship, he tends to what? Be afflicted with poverty. And wallahi, it's very, 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 very true. When you speak to a lot of Arabs, sometimes you're in the taxi and you're going from place to place, and I've had these conversations before, they don't fall short in mentioning an example that they know about or a real life experience. That having a girlfriend or falling into zina and things like that doesn't bring out a lot of khair into a person's life. And it always causes one what? To be driven into poverty. And him losing out on the wealth that he had. And this is very, very, very true. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person, because of the sin that he falls into, he's what? Deprived of provision. وَمِنْهَا وَحْشَةٌ يَجِدُهَا الْعَاصِ. This is point number three. From the effects of the sins, brothers and sisters, is a type of alienation, a coldness, that a person now he begins to feel in his life. What does alienation mean? A person, he begins to feel uncomfortable with regards to him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time he tries to go to the direction of doing ibadat, there is a barrier in between him and doing that action. And until this very period, brothers and sisters, this person who's feeling this feeling, there is still khair in him. Why? Because he has felt this feeling. That still shows that this person still has some life in his heart. Because the moment, brothers and sisters, you don't feel this feeling, that shows that your heart has passed away, it's died. So then he goes on to say, لا توازنها ولا تقارنها لذة أصلا ولو اجتمعت لذات الدنيا بأثرها لم تفي بتلك الوحشة وهذا أمر لا يحس به إِلَّا مَنْ فِي قَلْبِهِ حَيَاهِ. He says that if all the enjoyments of this dunya were to be brought to him, it would be nothing in comparison to what this person is feeling. It wouldn't be able to remove the disappointment, the unhappiness, the loneliness, the alienation this individual is what? Going through. And slowly, slowly, the more he keeps on sinning, his heart begins to die. And this is why he says, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ لَا يُحِسُّ بِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ فِي قَلْبِهِ حَيَاهِ. One won't feel this except somebody who still has some life in his heart. Because if it dies, وَمَا لِجُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتٍ إِلَامُ. He brings the lines of poetry. If a person is dead, and then you go and stab this dead person, will this dead person feel anything? He won't feel absolutely nothing. The man's dead. No matter how many times you stab that dead person, he's not going to feel anything. And this is exactly the situation of a person who his heart has died. From the effects that he ends up happening is lack of haya, lack of shyness. What he used to do in private, now he's doing openly. Because he doesn't necessarily realize anymore that there's something wrong.
فَلَوْ لَمْ تُتْرَكْ الذُّنُوبُ إِلَّا حَذِرًا مِنْ وُقُوعِ تِلْكَ الْوَحْشِدِ لَكَانَ الْعَاقِلُ حَرِيًّا بِتَرْكِهَا.
Says, if this effect that I just spoke about was the only reason why he left off sinning, it would be a great job that he's doing.
وَشَكَى رَجُلٌ إِلَى بَعْضِ الْعَارِفِينَ وَحْشَةً يَجِدَ فِي نَفْسِهِ فَقَالَ لَهُ.
An individual who is going through this type of alienation, this coldness between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he complained to somebody who has knowledge. He said to him, إِذَا كُنْتَ قَدْ أَوْحَشَتْكَ الذُّنُوبُ فَدَعْهَا إِنْ شِئْتَ وَاسْتَأْنِسْ.
If the sins have caused you now to feel in such a way, فَدَعْهَا, leave it off. إِنْ شِئْتَ وَاسْتَأْنِسْ.
And then seek the pleasure within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek that pleasure from Allah azza wa jal. Because brothers and sisters, the ibadah, it brings out لذة. This is why the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to Bilal, قم يا بلال فأرحنا بالصلاة. He never said فأرحنا من الصلاة. Bilal, stand up and cause us to gain through the salah enjoyment. Make the adhan so we can get enjoyment through the salah. Once a person, brothers and sisters, he feels that لذة in his prayer, where he totally forgets all that which is taking place in this dunya, wallahi, there is no enjoyment, no sweetness that a person he feels in his life more than that which he gains through the prayer and his other ibadat. But there's different asbab that a person, you know, ends up embarking upon in order to reach that level. Maybe inshallah ta'ala na'qidu darsan, how a person can gain khushu' in a salat. There's a number of points that the scholars, they mention another time. So the Shaykh here, this line of poetry that was mentioned, he's telling you now to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do this ibadat, so that this alienation can be replaced with what? With pleasure and sweetness that a person can gain through the ibadat. ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. This person has tasted the sweetness of iman. And this is also a very important point. Maybe we can relate to this. Sometimes why those that are very close to us, the attitude begins to change towards us.
وَمِنْهَا الْوَحْشَةُ الَّتِي تَحْسُلُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا سِيَمَا أَهْلُ الْخَيْرِ مِنْهُمْ.
A type of alienation, a coldness that a person now begins to feel between him and the people.
وَلَا سِيَمَا أَهْلُ الْخَيْرِ وَلَا سِيَمَ أَهْلُ الْخَيْرِ مِنْهُمْ.
Especially between him and the people of khair.
فَإِنَّهُ يَجِدُ وَحْشَةً بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُمْ وَكُلَّمَا قَوِيَ تِلْكَ الْوَحْشَةً بَعُدَ مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ مُجَالَسَتِهِمْ.
And the more this wahsha, this coldness, this alienation that this person he feels, he begins to further himself away from the people of khair. And also their sittings.
وَحُرِمَ بَرَكَةُ الْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِهِمْ.
And he also now becomes deprived from benefiting from their knowledge.
وَقَرُبَ مِنْ حِزْبِ الشَّيْطَانِ بِقَدْرِ مَا بَعُدَ مِنْ حِزْبِ الرَّحْمَنِ.
And in accordance to how he became so far away from the people of khair, the حزب الرحمن, the group of the most beneficial, most beneficent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's group, he begins to become close to the people of the shaitan.
Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this is very, very true. The discomfort that a person begins to feel, that he just doesn't want anything to do with them, the masajid, the discomfort he feels from going into the masjid. And it's like a magnet where he's being now pulled to those bad companions. And all of this is the effect of sin that a person has been feeling in his heart. And what does he do? He remains with these bad people till what? It leads from one sin to another. He becomes more drowned into it. And all of this started with a sin that he done. وَتَقْوَى هَذِهِ الْوَحْشَةُ حَتَّى تَسْتَحْكِمْ. So this alienation that this person is feeling, it becomes so strong and so much that it ends up overwhelming him. فَتَقْعُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ امْرَأَتِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَأَقَارِبِهِ وَبَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ نَفْسِهِ فَتَرَاهُ مُسْتَوْحِشًا مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. What does end up happening after that? It doesn't stop with him. He begins to experience a change of attitude with those that are very close to him, like his wife, his riding camel, his relatives. Sometimes we walk into the home and then all of a sudden we tend to see some sort of attitude change with our families. And the other way around as well. It's not just necessarily the guy. Maybe the wife walks into the home and she finds a change with her husband's attitude. One of the questions we might want to ask ourselves is, it's maybe now because of a sin that I done, something that I watched, a woman that I looked at, or a guy that I ended up looking at. And because of this, all of a sudden now, I'm beginning to see problems in my home. Or maybe sometimes the car is not working properly. Let us think and sit down. Has it got something to do with something that I done before? So he quotes, وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ. Some of the righteous of the past, they mentioned, إِنِّي لَأُعْصِ اللَّهَ فَأَرَى ذَلِكَ فِي خُلُقِ دَابَتِي. I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I now begin to see a change of attitude in what? In my riding camel. وَمْرَأَتِي. And also in my wife. Brothers and sisters, these people that we're talking about, they're not any random Dom, Dick and Harry of this time. These were the best of the people. And this is some of the things that they are admitting themselves to. They're admitting to it. They're not people who are deluded, who think to themselves that their lives are perfect. It's always those other people who are wrong. Sometimes we should blame ourselves and really think, okay, it's maybe because I done something. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to mention something very, very powerful. He used to say, أصلح ما بينك وبين الله يصلح الله ما بينك وبين الناس. Rectify that which is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal will rectify that which is between you and the people. Of course, there's always that factor of, you know, somebody, he might have some sort of envy towards another individual, and because of that, he dislikes him. It might be because this individual, he does genuinely have character problems, and because of that, he begins to dislike you. And sometimes you might end up being oppressed. A doubt is mentioned to somebody, and because of this, he begins to dislike that person. But maybe a lot of the time, what we should, you know, deal with these situations is maybe because I done something. I sinned. I may have violated the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and because of this, this and that is happening. Point number five, ومنها تعسير أموره عليه فلا يتوجه لأمر إلا يجده مغلقا دونه أو متعسرا عليه وهذا كما أن من اتقى الله جعل له من أمره يسرا فمن عطل التقوى جعل الله له من أمره عسرا. Things start becoming very difficult for him. There isn't a time when he turns his attention towards any matter except that he finds a barrier. And he finds it difficult in trying to accomplish it. And again, brothers and sisters, this is the effects of sins. Sometimes maybe we're trying to find a job. Everywhere that I look, the door is closed. Might be in these times where we do istighfar. We repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We blame ourselves. نغلب جانب وقوعنا في المعصية. We raise the possibility that it was us who fell into these sins. Brothers and sisters, you know, taqwa, it requires a whole lesson to explain. A lot of the time we hear when taqwa is being explained or translated, it means fear. It's a bit more than that. As Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala explains, and he says, أَنْ يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ يَشْ وِقَايَةً تَقِيهُ مِنْ. That a person, he places a barrier, a shield, in between that which he fears in himself. What is this shield? So here the shield you are placing is between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. What is the shield? فِعْلُ الطَّاعَةِ وَاشْتِرَابُ الْمَنْهِيَاتِ. To do that which you have been commanded to do, and to stay away from the things that you've been prohibited to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلُهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make matters easy for him. He will make what? Matters easy for him for having a taqwa. And likewise the axe. What do we understand from it? If a person doesn't come with taqwa, that which he should be doing and what he should be staying away from, Allah Azza wa Jal will what? Will make things hard for him. Point number two was that a person is deprived of provision. He's deprived of provision. Allah tells us also in the same surah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever comes with taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give him an opening. وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. He will provide for him that which isn't expecting. And you have the other hadith, the message of Allah alayhi wa sallam as well, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَدَعَ شَيْنِ اتِّقَاءً لِلَّهِ إِلَّا أَعْطَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ. You don't leave something out of taqwa. Sometimes you're in a predicament. You find out all of a sudden your job is haram, or you're dealing in riba. It's very, very difficult to leave. Why? Because the shaytan is whispering in our ears. أَشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمُ الْفَحْشَى. The shaytan, he threatens you with what? Poverty. He scares the people with poverty. الشيطان يخوف أولياء. He scares them. فلا تخافوهم وخافوني. Do not be fearful of him. He's whispering. And because of the taqwa that a person has, he leaves off what he should be leaving off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens hundreds of doors for him. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I can mention story after story after story of brothers who came up to me and I told them this hadith. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَدْعَ شَيْنِ اتِّقَانِ لِلَّهِ. Of course, you know, sometimes it's very difficult. But they ended up acting upon the hadith. He left his job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed it with a job where they're earning more money. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ. A promise of Allah, he never fails in his promise. وَمِنْهَا, number six, وَمِنْهَا ظُلْمَةٌ يَجِدُهَا فِي قَلْبِهِ حَقِيقَةً يُحِسُّ بِهَا كَمَا يُحِسُّ بِظُلْمَةِ اللَّيْلِ البهيم إذا دلهم. A type of darkness, a tightness that a person now begins to feel in his heart. يجدها في قلبه حقيقة. He begins to see the reality of this. He feels it in reality. يحس بها كما يحس بظلمة الليل. He begins to feel it just as he feels the darkness of the night. فتصير ظلمة المعصية لقلبه كظلمة الحسية لبصره. His heart begins to feel this darkness just as he sees or he feels the physical darkness that affects his vision. If a person goes out in the night and there's no lights whatsoever, this has an effect on his vision, which you will all agree to. He can't see anything. And then he says, فَإِنَّ الطَّاعَةَ نُورٌ. Being obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla is a light. وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ ظُلْمَةٌ. And being disobedient, it's what? It's a darkness. وَكُلَّمَا قَوِيَتِ الظُّلْمَةُ إِزْدَادَتْ حَيْرَتُهُ. And the more a person, he finds himself in this darkness, the darkness of disobedience, you find that the darkness increases. And he begins to increase in confusion. حَتَّى يَقَعَ فِي الْبِدْعِ وَالظَّلَالَاتِ وَالْأُمُورِ الْمُهْلِكَةِ وَهُ لَا يَشْعُرُ. Until he ends up falling into what? Misguided acts of disobedience and also what? Innovation. And things that destroy this person. And sometimes from where he doesn't expect it. He doesn't necessarily realize, he doesn't feel that he's going astray. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It is not the eyes that becomes blind, it is the heart that has become blind. He just does not see, no matter how many evidences you bring to this person and how clear you make it to him, he just doesn't realize that what he's doing is wrong. He believes he's getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why innovation is more beloved to shaytan than what? Than ma'asiyah. When a person is sinning, he knows that he's sinning, he knows that this is wrong. But when a person now is celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he is now calling onto the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him to remove the difficulty that he's going through, he believes he's getting close to Allah Azza wa Jal. No matter what you bring to him, he thinks that he's right. And this is what a sin does, brothers and sisters. I know a lot of people who apostated, and wallahi, brothers and sisters, they didn't apostate overnight. He did not apostate overnight. Something that just happened like that. No. You could see that he initially started from sins. And then he started falling into what? Innovation. And then he left the fold of Islam in totality, where he became an atheist. Allah says to us in the Quran, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Do you know that kibr, arrogance, could lead one to leaving the fold of Islam? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. وَإِنْ يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Those who ended up having what? Kibr towards the truth, arrogance. He was told this is wrong, but he persisted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to blinden these people. وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَةُمْ وَأَبْصَارُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Their hearts will be flipped. And also their eyes. What they were able to see before, he can't see anymore. Why? Because he didn't believe in it when the textual evidence is the truth came to this person. So he becomes more and more and more indulged in sins. Till this person ends up leaving the fold of Islam. كأعمى خرج في ظلمة الليل يمشي وحده. Just like a blind person who walked into the middle of the night and he's walking by himself. Like he's confused. He just doesn't know where he's going. Doesn't know where he's going. That's exactly what العمى يقاد أو يقود. The blind person, is he dragged or is he the one that drags the people? It's the opposite. He is to be what? Dragged and taken by the hand. And if he's by himself, he's going to fall from what side to side. And this is exactly what happens to a person with regards to his religion. يتخبط. وتقوى هذه الظلمة حتى تظهر في العين. And this ظلمة, this darkness, increases so much till it becomes what? Apparent on the eyes. ثم تقوى حتى تعلو الوجه. And it increases so much to such an extent where it now starts becoming on a person's face. وَتَصِيرُ سَوَادًا فِيهِ يَرَاهُ كُلُّ أَحَدٍ. And his face blackens. To such an extent, everybody can see this. To such an extent, brothers and sisters, everybody can see this. You can see a person who's doing ta'at, laylan wa naharan, it becomes apparent on his face. And a person who's constantly indulging in sins, it becomes apparent on his face. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إِنَّ لِلْحَسَنَةِ ضِيَاءً فِي الْوَجْهِ وَنُورًا فِي الْقَلْبِ. Sorry, إِنَّ لِلْحَسَنِ ضِيَاءً فِي الْوَجْهِ وَنُورًا فِيهِ. A person, because of the hasana, the good deed that he does, it begins to put a glow on a person's face. And a light also. وَسَعَةً فِي الرِّزْخِ. And he brings about ample of provision. وَقُوَّةً فِي الْبَدَنِ. And he also begins to what? Give this person a strength in his body to do ta'at, to do other acts from one to another, because this is exactly what happens. One good deed that you do, it leads to another. One evil that a person does, it leads to another evil. وَمَحَبَّةً فِي قُلُوبِ الْخَلْقِ. And it also causes what? Love to be found in the people's hearts for him. And this is the hadith of Al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِذَا حَبَّ, sorry, the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِذَا حَبَّ شَخْصًا Nada Jibreel. He calls on to Jibreel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Jibreelu, إني أحب فلانا فأحبه. Oh Jibril, for indeed I love so and so, so go and love him. To such an extent where it causes what? All the people to love this person. وَإِنَّ لِلسَّيَّةِ سَوَادًا فِي الْوَجْهِ وَظُلْمَةً فِي الْقَلْبِ وَوَهَنًا فِي الْبَدَنِ فِي الْبَدَنِ. And the sayya, the evil that a person does, it causes now this to blacken the face and to darken his face. وَظُلْمَةً فِي الْقَلْبِ. And it also causes what? Darkness to be found in his heart. وَوَهَنًا فِي الْبَدَنِ. And his body now to become weak. وَنَقْصًا فِي الرِّزْقِ وَبُغْضَةً فِي قَلْبِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْخَلْقِ. And also, you know, your provision to decrease, and hatred now to appear in the people's hearts for that person. I'm going to conclude, inshallah ta'ala, with this point. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْمَعَاصِي تُوهِنُ الْقَلْبَ وَالْبَدَنِ. This is point number 7. The ma'asi, the sins that a person, if he falls into, what does he do? He weakens a person's heart and also his body. As for what he means, وَهْنُهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ, it sickens it. You know when a person now becomes afflicted with a cold, methylene, his body becomes sick, right? And that's exactly what the sins does. It really sickens a person's heart. أَيُّمْرِ الْقَلْبِ. أَمَّا وَهْنُهَا لِلْقَلْبِ فَأَمْرٌ ظَاهِرٌ بَلْ لَا تَزَالُ تُوهِنُهُ حَتَّى تُزِيلُ حَيَاتُهُ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. As for the weakness that a person now begins to feel in a person's heart is, and this is something that is very well known, it's أَمْرٌ ظَاهِرٌ, very apparent. And it keeps weakening it, brothers and sisters, حَتَّى تُزِيلُ حَيَاتَهُ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ, until it completely removes his life in totality. And I'll explain that inshallah ta'ala. How many people have you seen who, because of the sins that he was falling into, even though this person is very, very rich, very, very rich, and wallahi brothers, this, I knew a guy who reached a level of suicide, and the man was a millionaire. All the ladhat, the pleasures of this dunya, he had it. But at the same time, he was somebody who was deeply indulged in riba, in usury, interest. We just mentioned the man was a millionaire, right? And with his money, he can do a lot with his life. Whatever he wants, he can go and what? Go and buy it. He felt so depressed and weak that he wanted to go and take his life. And a lot of the non-Muslims, this is the level that they reach, even though he has everything that he needs. But then he goes and what? He commits suicide. Recently, a brother was telling me this very well-known musician. I can't remember the name that he mentioned. This man became a millionaire overnight. He ended up committing suicide. He was found in a hotel. I think he sent me an article or something like that as well. He ended up what? Committing suicide overnight. They were depressed. وَأَمَّا وَهْنُهَا لِلْبَدَنِ فَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ قُوَّتُهُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. The believer, he finds strength, what? Inside his heart. وَكُلَّمَا قَوِيَ قَلْبُهُ قَوِيَ بَدْنُهُ. And the more his heart becomes strong, you find that it has a direct effect on a person's body, and his body becomes strong as well. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ told us, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسِدِ مُضْغَ إِذَا صَلَحَ صَلَحَ الْجَسِدُ كُلَّهُ. There is a piece of flesh in a person's body that if that becomes rectified, everything else becomes rectified. وَإِذَا فَسَدَ فَسَدَ الْجَسِدُ كُلَّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. And if that now becomes corrupted, everything else becomes corrupted. And this is the heart. So he here is saying that if now the heart becomes strong, how do you strengthen the heart? With that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to come with. وَأَمَّا الْفَاجِرُ فَإِنَّهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَوِيَ الْبَدَنِ إِنْ كَانَ قَوِيُ الْبَدَنِ. Even though he's somebody who has a very strong body, فَهُوَ أَضْعَفُ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ. You find that he's the weakest when it comes to when he needs something. فَتَقُونُهُ خُوَّتُهُ. And his strength ends up deceiving him. وَتَأَمَّ الْقُوَّةَ أَبْدَانِ فَارِسَ وَالْرُومِ. Ponder upon the strength that Faris, the Persians, and the people of Rome also had. كَيْفَ خَانَتْهُمْ أَحْوَجُ مَا كَانُوا إِلَيْهِ. When they were in the most need, what ended up happening to them? They couldn't do anything. They were deceived by their strength and the numbers they had. وَقَهَرَتْهُمْ أَهْلُ الْإِيمَانِ بِقُوَّةِ أَبْدَانِهِمْ وَقُلُوبِهِمْ And the people of faith, they ended up what? Defeating them. And that was because of what? The strength they had in their hearts, which caused them now to have strength in their bodies. A couple of examples, inshallah ta'ala, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The battle of Badr took place in the second year, in the second year of Hijrah. After the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Al-Medina. And this battle took place in the month of Ramadan on the 17th. The numbers of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions and those who were fighting against the Kuffar was 319. The Kuffar, they had approximately what? 1,000. The Muslims were only a third of the Kuffar. Who ended up winning? It was the Muslims. They had al-Iman, even though these people, they had what? They had numbers with them. In the Battle of Uhud, brothers and sisters, the Muslims initially, they had 1,000 men. Even though 2/3 ended up going back. Why? Because of the plot of Ibn Salul, the Munafiq. So there was only a third remaining. There was only a third remaining. Naam. There was only a third remaining. And the Kuffar, they had 3,000 with them. Initially, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, they chased away the mushriks. But then a problem took place because of that sin. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed Abdullah ibn Jubayr with another 50 of them on the top of Jabal Rumah. And he told them not to come down. And he told them not to come down, no matter what takes place. When the Muslims chased out the kuffar, the mushrikeen, some of them ended up coming down. They opposed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this command that he gave them. And this was one ma'siyah. وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ It caused what? Defeat. That one sin, brothers and sisters, that one sin. Even though initially they were less in numbers. They were less in numbers and they still ended up chasing them out. They had 3,000 with them. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only had a third. Why? Because two-thirds of them, sorry, ended up going back. In the Battle of Ahzab, brothers and sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only had 3,000 with them. They were inside Al-Medina. So many tribes and groups, they came together. How many of them was it? There was 10,000 of them. 10,000 of them. And even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided them. The tawakkul and the authenticity they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they still weren't defeated. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا Till the end of the ayat in Surah Al-Ahzab, there was 10,000 of the polytheists who all came together, اجتمعوا على الباطل, and there was only 3,000 in Al-Medina at the time. Then you have the Battle of Hunayn. There was only 12,000 of the Muslims and they had 20,000. The tribes of Thaqif. The tribes of Thaqif and also Hawazin. There was 20,000 of them. And still, they ended up defeating them. Even though there was a twitch in the battle, something that went wrong right in the beginning. Why? Because some of those in the ranks of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became amazed with the numbers that they had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَةُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنْزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ Some of those who were with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became amazed with their numbers. Even there's a narration that said, some of them claimed, لَن نُغْلَبَ الْيَوْمِ We will not be defeated today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trialed them. They started what? Turning their backs. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. Even though the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasn't pleased with some of them saying this. The point of the matter is, قُوَّةُ الْإِيمَانِ The strength of al-Iman, لَا يُعَدِلُهَا شَيْءٍ There is nothing that can come in comparison to it. No matter how many people come in front of you, you find that which gives a person strength is his heart by working on it. And then later on you find that this has an effect on a person's body. It has an effect on the people around him. And some, you know, situations he finds himself in. So brothers and sisters, let us try and work in this month on the heart. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make the dua, Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha. Oh Allah, grant me with taqwa for my heart. وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّهَا أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَهَا. You are the best of those who purify the hearts. You are the guardian and you are its protector. Something that we might be wanting to constantly mention and make dua with, especially while we are fasting. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَتُهُمْ. Three people won't have the dua rejected, and one of them is what? الصَّائِمِ حَتَّى يُفْتِرَى. The one who is fasting until he breaks it. We have so many hours, brothers and sisters, so many problems in our lives. On this day, while we are fasting, to ask Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَى. There is nothing more noble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a dua. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. جزاكم الله خير for listening. And inshallah ta'ala, next week we're going to take another chapter from this immense kitab. Assalamu alaikum. Oh.